Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome back. Good to have you on board. Follow the Money here live on the road in Omaha for the College World Series. And we're broadcasting today, tomorrow, and Saturday from Rocco's, right next to the stadium, home of the world-famous Jello Shot Room and the Jello Shot Challenge. And joining us now is the great Eduardo Perez. He is on set with us here live in Omaha. And you're going to be calling, what, year number 10? 11 of the college? First of all, great to meet you. That's amazing.
Yeah,
how cool is that?
Time has flown by. It really has. It's great to be here in Omaha this time of year. And who would have thought that when I played for Florida State in 1989 and in 91, came to the College World Series, played at Rosenblatt, that then I would have a consecutive streak, forget about COVID year, but to be able to call the College World Series, not once, but now going on number 10, it's pretty darn cool.
It's amazing. Is that one of the highlights of your year?
100%.
Yeah?
100%. You know, a lot of people see it as, well, the All-Star Game marks the mid part of the season. For me, it's the College World Series. You have that, you have the All-Star, then you have the Little League World Series. Those three combined are phenomenal. But this is one that I really look forward to because it's real for a lot of kids that want to play college baseball, especially like Murray State's in there.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Who would have thought that they were going to get an opportunity? And those kids are now proving what Deshaun Teclair has proved in 2016, that a Cinderella team can come in here, compete, and win.
I can't imagine this happens again with all these different conferences. Really?
I can. I really do. I think there's, because of the transfer portal, because there's a lot of opportunities now for kids, if you are in the right position where your head coach, where the teammates can gel and become one in a short period of time, and it all starts in the fall, you can turn around a program immediately. And because of the transfer portal, because of the NIL, and not necessarily because you pay a kid a lot of money, he's going to be great. It could work against you because they're so young that the pressure could get to them immediately. So there's definitely a chip on the shoulder for a lot of players that are playing all over the country when they're out there to prove themselves.
Sure.
So there's a lot of talk here at Rocco's about, you know, LSU's record of almost 69,000 Jello shots a couple years ago.
Oh, man.
And if that record can go down this year, and you know LSU fans will take this place over, as you've seen up close and personal, I'm going to make the case that it doesn't, and I'll say why. Even if LSU goes on and plays in the title and, you know, they win the entire thing, I think that 2023 team was just special with Skeens and Dylan Cruz. And, right, that was not a local or a regional team. That was a national team that had so much juice. So,
okay, you're saying that they won't because of that, and I'll tell you why they will if they go all the way.
Yeah, okay.
Because you haven't seen the LSU fans, man.
There you go.
Right.
There you go.
It doesn't matter.
Yep.
It's about the purple. It's about the gold. It's about them being out here and coming and partying, and they do it like no other. The tailgating is ridiculous. You don't have to have a Skeens in the back of a jersey. You don't have to have, it doesn't matter. You have LSU in the front, and the fans play. The fans are the ones that are out here taking the Jello shots. That's why I think it can be broken, because they've done it already before. They can do it again if they go all the way.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You're a veteran here.
Oh, my
God. So how underrated is this city? Between the museum, the zoo.
Sneaky.
Yeah, the
steakhouses.
Steakhouses,
they're unbelievable, and there's so much to see here. You know what I love about it? I live in Miami. There's no traffic. Rush hour is like 10 o'clock in the morning. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning for us in Miami.
It's crazy. Yes,
I really love the people. They make it special. They know how to put on a party. And when you look at the kids, I remember every year it's different, because there was one year where it was 104 degrees outside. It was so hot. And it was the first time I brought my daughters, and I said, this is a bucket list. And it is. It was so hot, and we were walking from one point to the other, and my youngest daughter at the time, she was probably like 9, she goes, Dad, I said, yes, Juliana, she goes, this is a bucket list? I said, yes. She goes, it's a hot bucket. But it's a great bucket to come and see, and I think this week is going to be phenomenal for kids.
Okay, so do you think, I totally agree with you, by the way, about Murray State. Do you think it can continue? From a betting standpoint, they're getting 2.5 runs against UCLA. That, to me, is attractive. I think they've done it so far. I think they can keep it close.
They can hit. The first thing you have to look at here at the stadium at Charles Schwab is, do they, you have to look at where the flag's blowing. And it's real. If it's blowing in, forget about the long ball. You're going to have to manufacture runs. The defense has to play. They have to make the routine plays. If they're able to do that, I think that's going to be key. That's going to be key for to see how many runs are going to be scored and to see how much they can win by. But if the wind's blowing out, it's a different story. This ballpark plays differently, and they're going to be playing during the day. So that's also going to play, in, especially with the infield, because from the fourth inning on, the infield starts getting pretty dry and quick.
Okay. Who's set up to be okay if they blow the first game or stumble early?
The pitching of the Chanticleers is real.
Okay.
The Chanticleers, it's real. It's the Coastal Carolina. It's real. They're deep when it comes to it. They've been so good. They know how to get on base. They have 170 hit-by pitches this year. Okay?
Wow.
Think about that.
What?
170 hit-by pitches this year. That's part of my open tomorrow, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
But it's...
That has to be some sort of a record.
That's ridiculous.
It's unbelievable. One of the players has 30 hit-by pitches.
One guy?
Yeah. I was like, is this Don Baylor reincarnated?
Yeah, right. That's right, yeah.
But it's... That just tells you that they practice it. They don't get out of the way. So it's tough to pitch them inside. If you're going to come in, you better come in, and they're not moving. They're going to take their hit by pitch. It's part of their pride. Mm. So they play differently, and they have a really good defense. They can pitch. They throw strikes. They get on base. And they have great defense, and that creates runs, especially when you don't depend on the long ball because, again, the weather here is a factor when it comes to the wind blowing in or out.
Okay.
Very good.
That is an awesome nugget. It's Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Eduardo Perez. Scooble goes tonight for the Tigers, by the way. I want to sneak in a couple minutes of Major League Baseball. Are they the best team in baseball?
No, not right now. They're not. I don't look at records and say, okay, this is the best team or this is not. I think Scooble is the best pitcher in Major League Baseball, right? So when Scooble goes, I'm not betting against him at all.
Sure.
But what I will say is, right now, the Detroit Tigers are playing really good baseball. They're solid. Javier Baez has been a surprise for a lot of people, especially with the contract that he had, and he wasn't living up to it. But when it comes to the pitching side of it, they're deep, but I think they still need pieces to the puzzle that they can add. And they have the talent to add at the minor league level to be able to make trades, to be able to compete for a title this year.
And I think they're going to have to do that, especially with the news today about Jackson Jobe. He's going to have to go under the knife, which is no good for them, obviously. Dodgers going to have to make a move as well. They can't keep anybody healthy in the rotation.
The pitching has always been suspect early on in the season. We knew about it, right?
Yeah.
We knew that Glasnow hasn't thrown a lot of innings in his career, never touched 200 mark. We knew that Snell had to stay healthy, was not able to do so. We still don't know how long Kershaw is going to be available. He's available now. He's been pitching, but he hasn't been getting swings and misses. That's interesting. The Yamamoto part has been the only constant. You know, they got Gonsolin back, but he's been up and down as far as effort. So the thing that they have is they have offense. They have 1-4, and I could add Smith to the 5 part with Teoscar Hernandez there, 4-5. But they are legit offensively, and they're going to have to continue to score a lot of runs in order to be effective. Bullpen's legit.
Yeah.
But it's a long season. I want to see what happens when Shohei comes back into that rotation. How's that going to affect the rotation?
Only a couple minutes left. What's it like when your dad's a professional ball player, and then he's part of one of the best teams ever?
And a Hall of Famer. Let's add that one too,
okay,
right?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, it's to me, it was my normal. It was my normal to grow up around greatness. And I think it all started with the leadership, and the leadership was Sparky Anderson. You know, you had a group of, in that room, of Pete Rose, who I grew up with, Johnny Bench, Joe Morgan, my dad, David Concepcion. That was the infield. and then the outfield anchored by Cesar Geronimo, where a lot of people don't even really talk about. They say, well, who's the last guy? But George Foster and Ken Griffey Sr. In the corners, they had speed, they had power, but the thing that they did was they shared time together. They got to know each other outside the ballpark.
Okay.
And because of that, it became a family environment. And it's no secret that us kids growing up in that environment, 12 that signed professionally, five of us went in the first round. We knew how to play the game.
Wow.
We knew how to play the game, wow. And I think that plays into who we were and who our parents were as well when it comes to learning the game.
Excellent.
That's phenomenal.
That is incredible.
Yeah, no kidding.
Wow.
Gee, who was your best friend?
Pete Rose Jr. was my best friend growing up. We still stay in touch. Ken Griffey Jr. just had a conversation with him the other day. We still definitely stay in touch.
Uh-huh.
So those kids, Pedro Borbón Jr., we grew up around him as well, the Concepciones. Yeah, it's a lot of us.
Very cool. That's awesome stories, great nuggets. Yeah. Have a great call the entire time here in the College World Series. If there's one thing that we have to do, or people who are coming to Omaha while we're here for the first time, what is it?
Order a filet mignon and eat it with a fork. Cut it with a fork.
And that's at several restaurants you can have that happen at?
I'll go to Omaha Prime.
Omaha mm-hmm. Prime?
Oh, yeah.
That's the spot?
That's the spot.
It comes out, you forget the knife.
Leave the knife. Don't even touch the knife. Boom.
Boom.
I'm in.
All right.
That was awesome. Pleasure meeting you. Thank you for the time.
Yes. Good job.
Another thing, medium rare.
Yeah, it has to be. Okay. Has to be.
I'll throw you
absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely.
Throw you out.
This is Follow the Money on VSEN.
Cruising along here on a Thursday. We're live on the road in Omaha. Yeah, I thought there was a champ breaking out right now. We're at Rocco's.
Pig Suey.
Hope they did that earlier today.
Yeah. Woo!
Pig Suey. Like three times in a row.
Go Razorbacks.
Yep. Yeah, world famous Jello Shot Room and the challenge here at Rocco's. And Jensen Lewis joins the program now, part of VSIN by the Books with Dave Ross, weekday morning, 7 Eastern. Good to see you again. Thanks
Likewise.
For popping on today.
Yep.
I'm looking at the VSIN.com picks page right now. Is there something wrong? You only have five plays on that right now.
Yeah. It's funny. I had to take the pedestrian bridge to lock in the Mets under.
Did early. You do that?
I did.
You walked across the bridge to make it back?
Walked across and did it. So yeah. I was telling the jefe, Steve Cohen, I'm like, I got to do that before dinner tonight. To lock in the under for the hockey game and maybe some other stuff. But I feel better. It's an abbreviated slate tonight, so I don't have to worry about, oh, God, if I got to walk over like 8 o'clock. Now, these are things you think about now.
Sure, right.
Like, all right, this is what it is. But can't wait to see everything get underway tomorrow. Saw Arizona, obviously, in the Super Regional I did in Chapel Hill. And I thought after that Friday game, got the break speed off of 18-2, come back, late inning offense in the eighth inning, force winner take all, and same thing happened. Mason White's a player, man. That kid is awesome. And so I think Arizona has the it factor. What a game we have to start tomorrow, though, boys. That's going to be a good one.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Okay, so I'm looking at, like, the VSIN guide put together by Matt Grissom. It's available right now, VSIN.com. It's on Twitter as well, at VSIN Live. The numbers jump off the page for Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
But I also feel like to go chalky at this point of the tournament, where you've had this many, like, upsets get through.
Yeah.
Going chalk right now feels like kind of a mistake.
Yeah, and so again, think about it, guys, as two regionals now coming together. So the same idea, the same handicap you would have had when it was field of 64. The depth of pitching is so crucial here because if you have to come through the loser's bracket, you're going to need a lot of arms. Now, LSU and Arkansas both have that, so not necessarily the loss. Whoever loses that game is in a boatload of trouble because, you know, Murray State and UCLA are what they are. It's not just juggernaut offense. Mm-hmm. Now, Murray State can hit. But I would feel that either of those teams are not panicking whatsoever. Yes, you want to have the upper hand because it saves your pitching, but I'm with you too. If you feel that it is going to be LSU or Arkansas coming through, find the team you like on the other side, and it just presents the hedge there when you get to the final.
who would that team be, you think? Or a lot of people making the case for Oregon State.
And again, I understand why, because the top two pitchers, right? Kleinschmidt, and then to be able to kind of do what you want with Dax there. If you stay on that winner's side, you're in great shape. That's the whole thing, though, is tomorrow is so pivotal because Louisville's dynamic, and I don't think you can sell them short whatsoever. They have shown up in certain spots. Dan McDonald is as good as it gets when it comes to game planning, and they'll be ready, and they already know that they're being overlooked. So always a dangerous team, you know, when you're saying, okay, yeah, we feel good, but this team knows that they're being overlooked.
Some of the bets that you have on the picks page right now, you do have Arizona, Coastal Carolina under 9.5.
Yep.
Louisville, Oregon State under 10.
Mm-hmm.
You also played LSU, Arkansas under 10.
Yep.
And then you're taking Murray State on the money line.
Go, wow. Go Racers. it is fascinating to watch them. Mm-hmm. And offensively, you know, again, in this ballpark, and for people that are just really tuning in and jumping into it, this plays like a big league ballpark. Think of Kauffman Stadium in the gaps. Like, there's a lot of ground to cover here, but there's also a lot of room for fly balls to die. So I feel that got the under, 9.5 there for Coastal and Arizona. I think it's down to 9 on DraftKings. It's already down to 9 on DraftKings for LSU Arkansas. I got it at 10.
Really? Okay.
So I think you look at Murray State just from, of course, the momentum. It's a feel-good story. Cinderella's alive. But they don't play like it. You know what I mean? Like, you go into Oxford and you put it on a team like that in their own backyard, you're pretty legitimate. And so I think there's a lot of DNA that I like about that crew, and I think they can stand up with pretty much anybody.
I told Eduardo Perez, we never see this again, and he disagreed because of the portal. 2 years ago, you had 4 ACC, 4 SEC,
yep.
And now you got 7 different conferences represented.
Yeah.
But do you agree with him that this could be a regular thing?
I think I'm kind of anxious, too, now, Paulie, with the House settlement and honestly where revenue share goes and how the guardrails end up, you know, evening some things out. But I do feel that it's no longer going to be an SEC invitational or an ACC invitational. I do think we get some parity there.
Okay.
And watching how the four seeds and the heck, ironic that Arizona is here. I did the Tucson regional last year. Arizona was the 1, Dallas Baptist the 2, West Virginia, who won that regional, was the 3, Grand Canyon, who a lot of former big leaguers live out in Arizona. It's their kids that are in that program, and they just took Arizona to the woodshed during the year. That was a 3-4 matchup, and Arizona and Dallas Baptist were 2-Q. So anything can happen, but I do agree with Eduardo that I think this kind of parity is likely here to stay.
There would be 3. I mentioned this last week. There would be 3 from the Pac-12. Right?
Yeah.
Right? Think about that for a second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll be talking about the big, bad, mighty SEC in a different light, I think, with 3 for the Pac-12. You have a bet on the Tigers and Orioles tonight as well, but you're not going to just bet the Tigers. You like the under in the game?
Yeah, Scooble Day, right? So let's not get in front of that freight train. I don't know what Baltimore offense shows up. And Dean Kramer, I said this to Dave on Buy the Books today. I said I could see a 4-2, 5-2. We get there. I know that there is a lot of disappointment from Orioles fans, and there should be. But, fellas, I put it together the other day. If you parlay on FanDuel, Scooble and Skeens to win the Cy Young right now, it's plus $1.35. Like, and it just tells you how ridiculous both those guys' years have been thus far.
How about the story in Milwaukee where Savale wakes up today?
Yeah,
it's his 30th birthday. Hey, you're demoted. You're going to the bullpen. He goes, no way. Get me out of here, man. I'm done. So they call up Mizorowski.
Yeah.
He's their top prospect. He's 6'7".
Yeah.
6'7". He throws 100 miles an hour.
It's fury.
He's going against Gray today.
Paulie, there is, I don't want to say violent delivery.
Okay.
But you're going to watch it, and you'll be like, hey, how in the hell are you picking it up at 101, 102, 103? And as you said, the height, the leverage of that fastball, I mean, it's going to feel like an avalanche coming down and trying to lift. You know, again, he's going to supply some power to it. But when you're that highly rated and you got the kind of talk and amped up hype, and this is the dude that's coming in, I mean, again, I like put the Brewers and the Rays in the same sentence where it's not flashy, it technically isn't fun to watch, but they win. You know, and St. Louis, by the same token, I mean, they put it together. I did not have them doing what they've done so far this year. But, yeah, it is fury. It is very much in-your-face triple-digit fistball from Mizorowski.
Is this going to look a little bit like Randy Johnson?
I think it's more herky-jerky. Like, Randy was so kind of smooth. Lower left, you know, three-quarter release. Mm-hmm. I think that this is going to be more like, not that there's a hitch, but it's okay. A little more herky-jerky. But it is, and it is right in your living room, man. It's going to be fun to watch.
Do you think I am genuinely live with my PCA MVP yeah. tickets, Pete Crow Armstrong,
yeah.
from earlier in the year?
Yeah.
Is it sustainable for, he's cooling off a little bit right now. But can he do it? Can he keep it up for four more months?
He can, and I think I talked to you guys the last time was, as soon as Ohtani gets on the mound, how many minimum starts would you need for the de facto? But again, we had this conversation about, was Lamar Jackson the NFL MVP? I think most of us would agree statistically it was better than Josh Allen, okay? Now, if you look at where PCA is as per his team, you take Ohtani off the Dodgers, they're fine. You take PCA off the Cubs, there's no way they're in contention. All the injuries to the rotation, too, notwithstanding. What is the dynamic of that offense like? And yet, Saez had a great year. Tucker's had a good year. But he has changed the landscape of how that offense operates. So you're certainly live. The caveat is if Shohei comes back and he's, what, 10, 11 starts?
Well, that's going to be a total game changer at that point.
Yeah.
And very difficult to overcome.
Right.
I wanted to go back to something you said about Skeens and Skubal.
Yeah.
Imagine if there were only one Cy Young Award. How would you price that right now? Skubal could only be like $1.20 against Skeens, probably.
Yeah, I would agree. Almost like an even money. And it's kind of crazy to think Skeens would be even money, you know, in that matchup. I would have to give Skubal a small favorite. I'll ask you, and Paulie, you as well. We had this debate on Family Network Radio the other day. If you had to overpay right now for an extension, who would you rather overpay for? Skubal with the mileage and the history and the track record, or Paul Skeens, the youth and the potential, knowing at least one injury is probably happening just the way the track record is?
No, Skeens.
I'd go Skeens.
And I think it's fair, right? That's a generational player. Skubal, already the mileage on it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
How many more good years could you get knowing that he's going to be into his 30s?
Yeah. Mike Palm said the next contract will be more than $400 million. Is that a mistake?
If I'm Pittsburgh and I'm Bob Nutting and I don't want to go into witness protection, I want to go out there and like, how can you be mad if you're like, hey, you almost put it back into the player. Here's $350 million, Paul. What do you say?
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
All right, very good, man.
Excellent.
Good to see you.
Likewise.
Want to know where the money's really going? Unlike other sources, our splits come straight from Circa and DraftKings, giving you insight into where the sharp action's landing. See the percentage of bets. First percentage of handle on every game across every major sport, helping you make smarter, more informed bets. Get the exclusive betting splits. Join the team. $9.99 for your first month. VSiN.com/subscribe.
Bet 40 from SI. We'll talk College World Series with him next here on VSiN.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
We're live on the road today, tomorrow, Saturday in Omaha for the College World Series at Rocco's, the home of the world-famous Jell-O Shot Room and the Jell-O Shot Challenge. And more on this here as Pat Forty joins the program, now friend of the show and dynamite at covering college sports for Sports Illustrated. He's on the Progressive Guest Line. Pat, good afternoon. Thanks for the time today. How are you?
I'm jealous. That's how I am, because you guys are in Omaha and at Rocco's, and I am not.
Everybody has said, right, like this is like a bucket list item that you got to cross off at some point to go to the College World Series and hang out, especially like if LSU were to make it. Where do you rank in terms of everything that you've covered? How cool is the College World Series?
It's up there. It really is. It's just such a fun, unique event. You know, it lasts forever, but it's just this great little slice in time, and Omaha loves it, really puts on the show for it. And everybody's happy to be there. You know, I mean, just making the College World mm-hmm. Series is such a great accomplishment. And, like, school is out. Everybody's in a bit of a party atmosphere and a party mode. And it just is really, it's really, really fun. The baseball is fun, too, but it's almost kind of ancillary to the just the kind of the frivolity and the festival atmosphere, I think.
Yeah, well said. And everyone loves your Jell-O Shot Challenge rankings as well, and how you ranked them 1 through 8. And everyone has told us that you've never seen anything like this LSU fan base, how they get after it, and they have just obliterated the record 2 years ago, 69,000 shots, and see if they can break their record this year if they make a deep run.
Oh, yeah. As long as they're in it, that record is in jeopardy, even as astronomical as it is, because, as I said on Twitter, they are the wooden era UCLA of drinking. You know, they are just untouchable. They get after it, and they take pride in winning the Jell-O Shot Challenge, too. You know, I don't know how much alcohol is actually in the Jell-O Shots, but they want to win the Jell-O Shots, and then they want to drink you under the table otherwise as well.
Yes. So you also tweeted this. I wonder if you did you get any pushback? I thought it was interesting that you think, is this the biggest accomplishment in the history of athletics with Murray State? Is it bigger than winning a game in the tournament with that John Morant team? Or how do you think this is the biggest thing ever to happen to Murray State?
I do. Absolutely. I mean, okay. To get to this level, to be one of the final eight, that's something Murray State, even with some really, really good mid-major basketball teams in their history, has never done that. And to beat who they beat to get there, you know, to go through a power conference gauntlet, basically, I think is just fantastic. And to be one of the last teams standing and to get their chance there, I mean, there's no saying that they're necessarily done yet. I mean, they can hit the ball, they can field, they can pitch situationally. They've got a chance to possibly still make some noise, as does Coastal Carolina from the Sun Belt Conference. And you know me, guys, I'm a bit of a populist when it comes to college sports. I love seeing the little guys not only get their chance, but then succeed when they get it because the deck is so stacked against them. So go Racers, go Chanticleers.
Yep, totally agree with that. And you answered my next question. I was going to say, do you think Murray State's run is done yet? I don't think it is. And from a betting standpoint, they're getting 2.5 runs against UCLA in the first game that they play. I think that's worth a bet.
There you go. Absolutely. 2.5 runs, I would take that. And I would be ready to see what they bring to the table. Not only there, but at Rocco's as well, because UCLA, I ranked 8 out of 8. Because I think that's a soft fan base when it comes to drinking. I said that's a high noon seltzer crowd. I don't know whether they're ready to hang in the Jell-O Shot competition.
Did any Bruin alums get at you on Twitter?
No, they all actually were like, yeah, I think you're right. They basically acknowledged that now this kind of, you know, going to Omaha and sitting around pounding Jell-O Shots is not really their M.O. So I don't even think they're coming in with a, oh, yeah, we'll show you kind of attitude.
Yeah. Do you like it or are you the other way here? Based on what you said, you like the little guy. LSU and Arkansas play right out of the gates.
Yeah, they do. And you know what? That's fine. I mean, they've battled several times this season. And what's wrong with one more showdown there? And yeah, they might be the two best teams still going, but that's luck of the draw that you know, they'll be facing each other early, and you know, perhaps one of them putting the other in jeopardy there. So you know what, bring it on, and let's see who else can rise up and make a run there.
Was this the prime example of why you should never have 4 auto bids for any sport, determine a playoff after the SEC got 13 bids, but only 2 teams in?
13 bids, the top 4 seeds, 6
yes.
of the top 8 seeds, and 2 left standing. I mean, the bracket suggested they should have overwhelmed the College World Series. Instead, they're just another league there. They got 2, nobody else has 2, but everybody thought, oh, they were going to have 4, 5, 6. Yeah, I think this is a great example of why you don't just automatically slot people in. Have them earn the bids and then see what happens. And what we have seen is a whole lot of upsets, a whole lot of unpredictability, and let it be proven on the field as opposed to deciding before a season even starts that one league is demonstrably better than the other.
Yep.
Well, I
find it rich that the old and now defunct Pac-12 would have 3 teams this year in the College World Series. I just am a big fan of that with Oregon State, Arizona, and UCLA making it.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, that certainly stands out as yet another reason why, oops, maybe the Pac-12 wasn't such a terrible thing. I know,
yeah,
you know,
right.
baseball doesn't drive revenue, TV revenue, but it's still, you know, if you look at the broad-based athletic competitions this year, like USC, I think, is going to finish second in the Learfield Cup all sports standings, which is higher than I believe they ever have, and be ahead of Stanford, which would be third, which is another Pac-12 refugee. And then, yeah, you've got these three in the World Series, and we had Oregon win the Big Ten in football. You know, it wasn't a bad league. It's too bad they screwed it up and then allowed themselves to be cannibalized by everybody else.
Yeah, well said. So are we at that point already with the college football playoff to where once they make this decision, whatever it's going to be, where you would, like, borderline break something at your house or say out loud, you got to be bleeping kidding me. Have we had that moment already, or what would that scenario be to you?
Oh, I mean, as soon as they started floating this idea of four automatic bids, yeah, I was ready to break stuff at my house, no doubt about it. The interesting thing, guys, is I do think there's been a little bit of a back off, specifically from the SEC on that. You know, having been at SEC spring meetings and heard a much more discussion of five automatic bids for everyone, one per conference in the Power Four plus one at large, and 11 at large bids, that, you know, it's like they're open to that. And I think the football coaches, to their credit in the SEC, sat in the room and said, you know what, we don't need the charity. We can do this on the field. Let's go that route, and let's see us do better than the Big Ten and better than everybody else. And so I think Greg Sankey listened to that. I think he was attuned to the amount of criticism he's gotten as the mouthpiece of this other idea, while Tony Petitti basically hides somewhere in Chicago. And I think there's a little bit of a recalibration, and we'll see, you know, if the Big Ten is going to stand by this, maybe on an island, or whether we finally get some acknowledgement, maybe this was a bad idea.
Very good. I hope that's spot on.
Mm-hmm.
Pat, we love talking to you. Always a great sport. Thanks so much for the time today. We appreciate that.
My pleasure, guys. Enjoy Omaha. Have a shot for me.
Will do.
You got it.
Will
Thanks.
Do. There
Thank
you go.
You.
The great Pat 40.
Yeah, good.
Follow him on X at @ByPat40. You can always read him at Sports Illustrated as well.
Well, it hurts Rocco's and Kevin here, because if they would have 5-6 SEC teams, because if you look at the rankings, it's all SEC teams for the Jello shot records.
Sure.
That would have been. The SEC is huge for business, he said, but they only get two in, and that's how it goes. How would you like to play Circa Survivor or Circa Millions for free? Winner Circle Proxy giving away one free entry to each contest plus full proxy service. You'll be paired with a VSiN host for strategy all season long. Enter now for your chance to win. WinnerCircleProxy.com/VSiN. WinnerCircleProxy.com/VSiN. Incredible giveaway. Get up there today.
I think... Paul Howard, Mr. Anti-SEC, for as long as I've known you, you're going to walk out of here liking LSU.
Perhaps. We'll see.
I think you will.
I can't get enough of the Tiger story, which we'll tell in 15 minutes.
I mean, I'm
these
going
guys
impressed
are just, it's insane what it's...
And it also makes me think, like, I've never been to a night game.
Yeah, right.
In Baton Rouge.
Like that.
You
What's
know?
Doesn't that go back to Orgeron? They got Mike the Tiger here. They go, oh, that Mike the Tiger. They're coming in. Leach talked about it, but then there was something.
Yes, Leach definitely did.
There was something about that Tiger. It's crazy.
A lot to update next, including numbers in the NBA Finals, something that certainly surprises me.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
It's good to have you on board. Show is on the road this week, along with Money Moves. That's noon Eastern with Stormy Bonatoni and Jonathan Von Tobel. They did their show earlier today from here, live at Rocco's in Omaha. Rocco's is the home of the Jello Shot Room, Paulie, and the Challenge. We're back tomorrow, and we're going to be doing bright and early, Saturday morning, 10 o'clock Eastern time. Right here at Rocco's. I can't wait to see what it's going to look like tomorrow. It's starting to pick up right now, but tomorrow, Saturday, going to be awesome.
This is like a Super Bowl where they set this up and the streets blocked off.
Yeah.
Streets, I should say, blocked off, and you got all the gear and everything they're selling, and then the DJs and how that's going to go till late night, what this is going to be like the next couple of days. Going to be wild.
I'm not single. I'm married. You are single. I will tell you what your game plan has to be tonight and tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Because if I were a single man, I don't know if I would leave the hotel lobby.
Could be something.
I think we're staying right across the street. It is going to be crawling for the next 48 hours, minimum.
Southern Bells. So you get Arkansas, you get LSU, you get the UCLA coming in, Louisville.
The whole crew that came with us, right?
Yeah.
Anybody who is single, you don't live here, right? Just be careful and have fun.
Yeah.
And make sure nothing weird happens.
Yes.
But it should be a field day or weekend for many people. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know.
That's a good point about what's going to transpire the next couple of days with that hotel, and then you're right in the mix here and everyone drinking and having a good time all night.
My betting advice has been terrible for a good 5 weeks, but I think I'm onto something there with life advice. I think I might be.
All right.
The Thunder are laying 6 points tomorrow night against the Pacers after what happened last night.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Are you more surprised that it's six, or are you most surprised that they're 220 to win the series?
Well, no, because you look at what the point spreads are going to be. So
yeah.
It's just they're not going to – nothing can happen. Non-injury. Nothing can happen that they're going to change the power rating. So – I mean, the Pacers could blow them out tomorrow, and they're still going to hang a nine.
Yeah, well, yes, they will.
In game five.
Great point, Paul.
So it doesn't matter, and that's why I think you got to come right back with the Pacers. And until OKC can prove they can actually cover a game and live up to their lofty power rating and expectations, that this juggernaut, which set the point differential and all these records and 82 wins now, and they would have the second most wins all time if they can close the deal. But it's a little bit of OKC so good in the power rating, and it's still, well, okay, Pacers. You know, a little engine that could. This is a fun story. What more do you need to see? They have the second best record since January 1st. They took out the 64-win Cavs in five. They took care of the Knicks. They had no problems with Milwaukee. And now here they are, 2-1. And still, though, I would say this is the most improbable NBA championship if they can win two more games. Based on where they were at before just January and the 125-1 odds that we saw. This does not happen in the NBA. You got to go back to Golden State when they won it, and they were 30-1. The bubble Heat came out of nowhere, but they didn't win it. So
I'd say the one that would be close would be that Pistons team that beat the Lakers.
Yeah, but that was only okay, 5-1 series
price. I'm only
price
talking about the series price. Yeah, that's
oh, series
yeah.
price. Okay. Yeah. But overall,
but
this does not happen where you would beat a 64-win Cavs team. The Celtics get eliminated early, but then you would beat a 68-win OKC team, and you were 125-1 not that long ago and win the NBA title. Best of seven, best of seven, best of seven, best of seven. Yeah. I don't think we'll see it again.
Well, that Lakers team, we have to remember, right, Shaq was in the league at that point for like 10, 12 years, maybe a little bit beyond his prime.
That loss to Detroit?
Yes.
Kobe was Malone and Peyton, too.
I know, and Kobe, they were at the
Kobe,
end of their,
yep.
But Kobe was in his prime,
yep.
Right? And they were a machine. And if I recall correctly again, I think it was like overwhelming that everybody thought the Lakers would beat them like in five games.
They thought it before the season. Good, they're going to set every record. They already have Shaq and Kobe. Now they get the mailman and Peyton. Good luck.
Right.
And Detroit did a great job with the game plan.
You should have swept them.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But so many guys can chip in, and so many guys can beat you. And for what, Mathurin, 100-1 for a reason, to have the most points. But it all goes back to how they play. And they play fast, and they have depth. They play with pace. They're going to wear you down. They're going to start fast and close strong. Points in the fourth quarter in this series are 100-73. Bench points 49-18. They're 9-1 in clutch games. OKC shoots 45% from three, still lose, still get beat. So now it's gut check time the other way. Because now if OKC loses tomorrow, and I love it that we got the short turnaround now too, but if OKC loses again tomorrow, then this really is juicy. And I know it could be, well, we're young, we have all this time, this is going to sting big time. If you have this record and what you did with blowing all these teams out over the course of the season and you can't get it done when you're this big of a favorite, that one's going to sting. Would Presti panic and make a big-time move? I don't think so. But still, this would sting for a while if the Thunder, on the heels of what happened last year, they were better than Dallas. Just P.J. Washington got hot.
Of course.
And he took them out. But this is, you know, and a better job by Chet. I give him credit, although he didn't finish strong. I mean, he's shooting too many threes for my liking, all of six from three. But this is going to be a tough pill to swallow if they can't get this done as a $8-9 favorite.
I think he'd be making a huge mistake if he did not trade. That's back-to-back years where you'd be the one seed.
Yeah.
Last year you flopped.
Yeah.
And this year it's the ultimate flop if you can't win this as a, you know, $7 favorite going in. And you blew game one completely. Pacers led for 0.3 seconds. That was it.
That looms large now.
And you've,
that's why.
Yeah, you've already called. Chet, you already said Holmgren's top three to top five under most overrated player in the league. Right? Now, here's the thing. Like, who would that player be? Giannis is coming out over and over and over again saying he doesn't want to leave Milwaukee. Is it going to be Kevin Durant? Go back home?
Yeah.
What are you going to give up for him?
I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to do that. Can't do that.
I don't think I would either.
He's 37. He makes $50 million.
Yeah.
He also would sign an extension, 2 years, $122 million or something.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I just, regardless if he takes care of his body, and he's been injury prone and he's 37. I can't give up much for him.
You know,
the thing that the Minnesota stuff keeps coming up. And you're going to have to give up Randall and Naz Reid. There's no way in hell I'm doing that.
Not a chance.
If I'm Minnesota. If it's DiVincenzo, Gobert, and some pieces, okay. But I'm not giving that up for Durant at that age. And I still think all these guys are wrong, that it's not going to be a crazy offseason with the movement. But, you know, I think you got to take the Pacers tomorrow, and OKC's got to prove it to you. And I don't know why that they can't play like they do on the road and what they do at home. And you just mentioned it, too. Game one is enormous now. I mean, you blow game one, that's still in the back of your mind. Because
yep.
Now you blow game one, you got to beat them 5-7.
Now, I will say, how about the people who are betting the zigzag, right? After game one, they were laying a huge number in game two, came back, won, better team by far, covered the game. Goes back home for game three, laying a big number. People are like, well, on the road, they can't cover games. I'm betting the zigzag. Indiana gets there. So the zigzag would be to bet the Thunder tomorrow night. And for it to come home, that would mean they're covering their first game in the playoffs.
I would be shocked. If Indiana gets beat by double digits, I'd be shocked. How about last night? The largest lead of the game was 9.
I know. And I'll give you another one. Like, I'm expecting SGA to have, like, an MVP-type game, bounce back, right? It's 34.5 of this player. It actually came down to some spots at 33.5.
Okay.
I mean, because I think he's going to have a really good game doesn't mean that I'm going to bet over 33.5, though. That's a massive number, Paulie.
Yeah. Yep, I'm with you. Where's that prop looking at now?
He's averaging 32 a game.
He's averaging 32.
So it's under 33.5 right now, but I need another kind of, you know, 24-point performance again.
All right. And then we got a plethora of props coming later, too, with the hockey game. Bouchard shots on goal. Ekholm blocks over. Schmidt to have an assist. Looking forward to that as well.
Pizzeria as well.
That's right. Pizzeria coming up, and we'll see all your big tickets. And we've shown those tickets before with the Pacers. And Mama's Pizza jumps in, and they start today. That's awesome. Introducing the $500 try from GBank First Bet and VSiN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa Signature credit card in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 to trigger the $500 try. You'll get a $200 cashback reward on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match, and VSiN completes the try with a free VSiN Pro subscription through August 31st. $200 value, $500 try from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. That's VSiN.com/GBank. One-time promotion limited to customers opening a new account.
We'll talk to Kevin, the owner of Rocco's, up next. Does he think LSU is going to break the all-time shot record?